Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another podcast edition of Black College Nines HBCU Baseball. I'm your host, Michael Coker. On this podcast edition, I will discuss the latest rumblings as it relates to HBCU baseball. Here we have two issues I would like to share with the Black College Nines HBCU baseball fans. The first being the hiring of a professional athlete, and the second is dishonest and politics used against two HBCU baseball programs this past 2016 season. What I want to discuss in this podcast series is the New York Mets organization get granted a tryout to Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, the former National Football League quarterback for the Denver Broncos, the New York Jets, the New England Patriots, and the Philadelphia Eagles, won the Heisman Trophy for the Florida Gators in 2007, and he helped the team win two national championships. He recently signed a baseball minor league contract with the New York Mets. Tebow, who hasn't played organized baseball since his junior year in high school, dating back to 2005, will begin his professional baseball career in a fall instructional league. He reported to the league September 19th in Port St. Lucie, Florida. That's part of the Mets organization, one of their affiliates for the minor league system. The organization paid Tebow a six-figure contract with a $100,000 signing bonus. When they committed six figures to the outfielder, they did so knowing that he had significant physical skills. He was an athletic, he had strength, flexibility, and some average twos. But they knew that he had not played baseball in 11 years. And with this being an issue, it is an issue at all levels. If he was 18 to 21 years old and the decision would have been to sign him, then that would have been a no-brainer. But at the age of 29 and having not played baseball for more than a decade means that this is a smack in the face of historically black college and university baseball programs. It is my reason, and therefore my reasoning, to believe that HBCU baseball players can and will thrive beyond the college ranks on any of the 32 Major League Baseball rosters, and will likewise benefit from a professional baseball experience if given that chance. With all of the prospects from HBCU baseball that amounts to talent, and the success of many HBCU baseball programs, the decline in Major League Baseball in HBCU, being drafted by Major League Baseball, and a lack of interest, can be observed how the MLB overlooks HBCU baseball. The signing of a player that has not donned a uniform in more than 10 years, it neglects how Major League Baseball, the draft board, and its clubs ignore HBCU baseball community. Now, this is not a stab at Tim Tebow. I'm not taking a stab at him personally, and this does not reflect on his ability as an athlete. But it does reflect on Major League Baseball has turned its back on HBCU. Major League Baseball is a big entity. They have it set where from 18 to 24, could be 25, but 18 to 24, you have a window of an opportunity if you get drafted or if you sign as a free agent. That window is a 2 to 4 year window for you to make it out of the minor league system and hopefully one day make it to the big stage. But not having HBCU and not giving HBCU that chance when there's so much talent, so much skilled players, it behooves me to wonder why, in this day and age, after Jackie Robinson, that HBCU baseball is struggling when there is so much talent, so much hope. And let's be honest with ourselves. An HBCU baseball player will be in awe of being drafted or being given a chance to play Major League Baseball. But that awe will only last for one day. Because that player will know that he has to get down to business. And he will bust his butt to see to it that he gets that chance. But that chance is not coming. And there's extenuating reasons why it's not coming. The one that's disturbing is Major League Baseball Scouting Bureau and the many scouts that supposedly scout HBCU baseball. What I found out from a few years ago, there was one particular scout for a particular Major League Baseball ball club. After that draft of that year, the scout asked the general manager, and he stated that there's a lot of skills coming out of HBCU. Why aren't we drafting these kids? The next day, that scout was fired, and it sent chilling and a tripling effect down to the many scouts who attend HBCU baseball. Some of those scouts go to HBCU games. Let's be honest with ourselves, especially when they're playing non-HBCUs, to see those non-HBCU games. And I'm doing my best to tell it like it is. But that's a fact. Many scouts lie to the HBCU coaches, telling them, yes, your player's this, your player's that. Case in point was Black College Nines. This past season, we did a series on about 45, 46 different ball players that the scouts were looking at. None of those kids were taken. The four that were taken from HBCUs were not even on the Major League Baseball scouting report, or they weren't even being considered. So it was a shocker. Now, don't get me wrong, not everybody can be drafted, but when you have kids who can go out there and play the game with the proper skill, the proper mindset, the tools that are required to be above average and not get that chance, something's wrong in the ship that's sailing. Javion Randall, one of the top HBCU baseball players this past 2016 season, spent 4 years playing ball for Jarvis Christian College. He was a four-year starter from day one, his freshman year up until his last game, his senior season. A four-year starter. For 3 years, he batted 365 or better. His senior year, he batted 470 and led the entire nation throughout the entire season. In a recent game, championship matchup, one of the announcers stated that Randall's arm has been deemed by NASA as a guided missile. Still, he went undrafted, not even offered a free agent contract. And what is more disturbing is that same organization that signed Tim Tebow gave Randall a tryout. My understanding is he blew him away at the tryout. But They said to him, "We'll get back in touch with you," and he hasn't heard from him. Now, Randall is a young kid, 22 years old. He fits all the twos, 6'2", slender, power, arm, speed. He has all of the necessary skills and tools to play in the major league level. And there are many. It's just not just him. There are many. And I had a chance to watch players this year who tried out and made the independent league baseball programs, and they were playing magnificent. Still, no call for Major League Baseball for any of the HBCU players. At 22 versus a person that's going to be 30 next year, it's really disturbing that HBCU is being slapped in the face, not giving a chance to showcase his talent. I applaud Tim Tebow for what he has done as an athlete for the National Football League. What I don't applaud is what Major League Baseball, in particular the New York Mets, have done when there's younger talent at HBCUs. And it really reeks of how the signing of a player that has not donned a uniform in more than 10 years. And in that 10-year period, there was limited participation from Major League Baseball for the draft board for them to ignore HBCU baseball in the HBCU community. Now, I want to switch a bit to something that happened during the season last year. Well, this past season. And it was two things that happened against two HBCU baseball programs. The Associations of Independent Institutions, along with the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, held and completed its 2016 baseball conference tournament and their seeding in matchups this past May. This was held at the Lawrenceville, Georgia, in Gwinnett County, just outside of Atlanta. 8 teams participated in the double elimination tournament, received entry through a selection committee made up of a conference coaches, one conference commissioner, and one head coach whose baseball program hosted the tournament as the number one ranked team in the nation. Its fourth year in existence, playing on a $23 million state-of-the-art baseball athletic field. In July of 2015, the National Associations of Intercollegiate Athletics, better known as the NAIA, the national office in Kansas City, Missouri, announced that three historically black college and universities, HBCUs, Edward Waters College, Talladega College, and Tougaloo College, were eligible to compete for the Associations of Independent Institutions Baseball Championship in 2016 and vied for 8 spots and a chance to play for one of 3 automatic bids given to the tournament champion, runner-up, and third-place finisher. The tournament was hosted by Georgia Gwinnett College in Lawrenceville, Georgia. They received a bid as a tourney host based upon their 2015 national rankings. They were a number one ranked team in 2015. Talladega College is the last GCAC school to compete in the NAIA National Baseball Tournament. The Tornadoes were an at-large selection after the 2014 season. Both HBCU teams, Edward Waters and Talladega, from the same conference, have built their respective baseball programs into legit contenders. For the last 5 years, these two teams have dominated the conference. Last season, Edward Waters won a regular season title, only to lose to Talladega in the conference championship game, as both teams won more than 30 overall ball games in 2015. This season, Everwaters repeated as a regular season Gulf Coast Athletic Conference champion, finishing with a 31-13 overall record. At the start of the 2016 season, both teams were picks to click in the GCAC and make a serious run into the Association of Independent Institution Conference Tournament. Both teams were preseason and regular season selections in Black College Nine's HBCU Top 10 Small School Baseball poll. Outside of our poll, they was also ranked in the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference and Association of Independent Institution group polls. After Everwaters received a number 2 seeding this past 11th, and this is where things get really interesting, the Association of Independent Institution Commissioner's Office and the Conference Selection Committee changed the system for rating teams and its qualification for what the seeding would be based on. After the April 18th poll, the next polling week, April 25th, Everwaters found itself not seeded. After seeing the Tigers unranked in the April 25th Association of Independent Institution poll, Everwaters head baseball coach forwarded a request for information email to the conference commissioner's office, and it states, "Good afternoon. What we are going off for the seedings in this tournament, is it strictly the winning percentage and our winning percentage and the strength of schedule? I'm just trying to get an understanding of how we were a number 2 seed 2 weeks ago. The following week, dropped from the poll, return as a number 6 seed. Black College Nines, we were able to obtain a copy of that email through reliable sources. At that time, Everwaters was on an 18-game winning streak when they were removed from the ranking. The commissioner office forwarded Everwaters a request from the Georgia Gwinnett College head baseball coach in his response to the commissioner's request. He sent that information back to the commissioner, and this is what the commissioner said. No, if you want to send him this, these are the statistics the committee used. A lot of weight was placed on the bow chip throughout the season. Now, later on, I will explain to you what the bow chip is. What was forward the coach, Everwaters coach, was nothing more than a one-loss table of 8 teams. The commissioner, in turn, provided more information to Johnson. Here are the selection criteria. One-loss record, head-to-head, record against common opponents, record against teams ranked in the top 25 or receiving votes, overall strength of schedule, and any ranking system that can provide additional information. None of that information was known to Everwaters nor Talladega until after the request from Everwaters and the number 2 ranking stripped. Before the start of the season, won and loss and the overall record was the rating format used to factor in selecting and seeding teams in the Associations of Independent Institutions tournament field. The rating factor in selecting and seeding teams in the tournament field, however, the NCAA Selection Committee in 2005 has made it known that a rating index is only utilized for grouping the teams into groups such as the top 50 and the top 100 teams to value the wins and losses and not as a factor for selection. They also noted that the additional factors considered like strength of schedule, conference and non-conference strength, record against winning teams, and other extenuating factors. The Georgia Gwinnett coach responded, a lot of weight was placed on the bow chip throughout the season. Remember, I said I was going to explain to you what the bow chip was, and this is what it is. The bow chip power index is a rating system used by the NAIA to rank top 25 baseball programs across the country. In my opinion, it is a flawed ranking system which lists rank and score, no strength of schedule, has no narrative to apply to a team strength rating, and no weight-bearing means, which leads me to believe that any team that is a selection committee chooses, they are keen on, that team can be penciled into a conference tournament as a write-in seeding. But this contraption has always been utilized as a tool to compare teams that do not play each other or have common opponents. How do you know who is better between a team 35 win versus a 36 win team when there are few, if any, common opponents? You can't test every team, and even if you could, no two people will have the same preference. And that's a fact. Edward Waters and Talladega are two very good baseball clubs, two very good baseball programs, with two very good baseball coaches. They were penciled in to the number 6 and number 7 rankings, respectively, by the selection committee for the Associations of Independent Institution Tournament to prevent two HBCU ball clubs, in my opinion, from advancing to the national tournament. Both teams were in contention to play for one of three automatic bids, as I stated earlier. One for the champion, one for the runner-up, and the third place finisher. The GCAC members were in a unique position to make the NAIA national tournament, especially Edward Waters, the previous number 2 seed, as the Tigers' overall record of 31-11 and 10-0 for the second year straight in the conference, and Talladega having played 32 games against 8 top-ranked teams in the NAIA Top 25. By seeding Edward Waters to the number 6 ranking and the Tornadoes at number 7, the aim was to pit HBCU teams in the same bracket as they would be forced to eliminate each other, which the commissioner and the selection committee accomplished. Each team had lost their opening round game, forced to play each other in the loser's bracket. If both HBCU baseball programs had won their opening round games, they were scheduled to meet each other in the tournament. Win or lose, the winner would have played a stout Georgia Gwinnett team that was projected to have 15 potential of its 2016 rosters on Major League Baseball draft board. When Everett Waters was dropped in the ranking, the commissioner and the selection committee elevated Clark Atlanta out of Iowa, Texas A&M Texarkana out of Texas, Mount Mercy, and College of the Ozarks from Alabama to single out which HBCU they wanted to fail. Edward Waters had an opportunity to win the opening round first game against Texas A&M Texarkana. They were leading 5-1 after the second inning. Both teams were knotted up at 6 apiece in the 6th inning as Edward Waters' pitching could not throw strikes and accounted for 12 walk batters. The Tigers lost that game 9-7. Umpires can be blamed for some of those walks, but that's a different story. During the annual Association of Independent Institution Awards banquet, both Edward Waters and Talladega baseball teams were without any players selected for all-conference regular season honors. Both GCAC head coaches questioned why none of the HBCU members were included at the awards after the announcement was made at the banquet. The all-conference team, which featured 16 first-team and 15 second-team selection, was voted on by the league's head coaches. Both Edward Waters and Talladega stated they knew nothing about the voting, questioned the commissioner, and was told they were not eligible because both programs are in their first year competing in the Association of Independent Institutions. They do not qualify for any players or coaching rewards, but was encouraged to return next year. If that was the criteria used by the conference governing body preventing a baseball program from getting performance recognition, why did the commissioner's office and the league's head coaches allow Texas A&M Texarkana, a first-year baseball program, in its inaugural season, which had 7 recipients honored outstanding play during the banquet? Also, both coaches stated that the commissioner's office never had any correspondence with their school's athletic department to submit a list of players' conference awards at their respective positioning during the season. The conference award also includes players that were not in the Association of Independent Institution Tournament played at the Georgia Gwinnett College Gridney Baseball Campus in Lawrenceville, Georgia, but were first-year participants in the conference. There was no fairness exhibited from the Association of Independent Institutions and the selection committee, and it reeks of a systematic problem, especially from a head coach who sits on the selection committee with the number one ranked team in the nation, who handpicked the teams that wanted to play during the tournament, which picked Fisher College from Michigan, who was 19-24 overall and was an emblem for Georgia Gwinnett baseball to use as a tune-up game for the tournament. There is a facet to this game, the human element to the game of collegiate baseball. You win or you lose, the outcome will never change, and that is obvious. But when a governing body is supposed to implement fairness, assuring that the administrator allows general, universal, and equal opportunity, where the play shall be settled on the field, instead dictate who participates through a series of preferences before the first pitch is thrown, it has no accountability for its own actions, but to promote its favorite in exchange for beneficial gains. The teams the commissioner and the selection committee structured in the standings and ranking made the NAIA opening round national tournament, which played this past May, which was hosted by Georgia Gwinnett at the Grizzly Baseball Field in Lawrenceville, Georgia, and it was called the Lawrenceville Bracket. Politics and revenue stream won this one, not the play on the field.